Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm great. I have sworn off dolls for this Christmas, and just in time, thankfully, as I'm sure the all the new talking dolls will be saying even more horrible things this year.
All the talking dolls. We're past that, I think, for the most part. Like, I don't.
That's true. Now they come with apps that are easily hacked into.
That's probably true, honestly. I mean,
that's definitely true. There was a whole big thing with VTech having websites with terrible security and a whole bunch of kids' pictures and stuff being leaked.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. All right, let's not talk about that. Happy holidays to all you guys out there in internet radio land. This will be just after Christmas, but, you know, anyone celebrating all the holidays happening around this, let's see, it's a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwesi Kwanzaa, and a solemn but respectful Ramadan. I believe that's as Krusty would say.
I forget. I didn't hear you say a tip top tet. Was that?
Oh, tip top tet. I forgot tip top tet. That's the one. Okay. I always just forget sure. Tip top tet. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you can gain access to all of our bonus material, including a monthly bonus episode, new episode reviews as they debut. Let's see, weekly articles written by me. We're about to film a moon waffle video. We're make and eat moon waffles. Put that up on there very shortly. Just reached that goal. Our next goal is bad drawings from both Matt and I about the episode we're reviewing.
They will be bad.
I promise you that. But after that, you know, there's other great things in sight. You can check out $2 is just the very kind of lower levels. You can check them all out if you want to donate to the show. We'd really appreciate it. We have a couple people to thank, Matthew.
People are good.
Daniel Ambrose. Thank you very much, Daniel.
Daniel, you're the man.
And Tom Connolly. Thank you, Tom.
Tom, you are also the man. Man part two, in fact.
Well, part two? The sequel?
The manning.
Are you working for Hollywood, Matt?
They rejected my ideas as being too original.
Oh, okay. Also, if you want to help out the show in a different way, please go to iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Give us a 5-star review. Subscribe. Really helps us out. If you don't know what to say, simply say, the best holiday gift I've ever received is a new episode of The Simpsons Show. Dramatic pause.
That's really saying something.
It is saying something. This week's episode is Lisa vs. Malibu Stacy, episode 1F12, originally aired February 17th, 1994, written by Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein, directed by Jeffrey Lynch. Originally broadcast, finished 23rd in the ratings, Nielsen rating 11.6, approximately 11 million viewing households. Bad news for you, Matt, finished second behind Beverly Hills 90210 on Fox.
Oh, we're getting to that time when the fake teenagers take over.
It's already happened a couple times. They've had a pretty good run up until this point. I know that in later seasons they don't even finish second. They'll drop to third, fourth, or even fifth, depending on the week. It's all right. We all know that The Simpsons were better than all the other shows
and more long lasting. Because who in the world would watch 90210 now? And who still watches The Simpsons? Huh? I think we know who won that.
Well, that's a different debate. Couch gag. The family gets crushed by the Monty Python foot, which, as a child, I did not understand.
Nope.
I had no clue.
I was like, why is there a giant foot, and why does it not look like a Simpson foot at the very least?
Yeah, for years, I watched The Simpsons, I had no idea what that foot was, where it was from, did it mean something? And then I'm like, oh, it's from one of the best sketch comedies shows of all time. Okay, now I understand why they did that, because obviously, yeah, Monty Python influenced, I'm fairly certain influenced, the Simpsons writers, hopefully to this day. I mean, it's pretty, Python is great show. That controversial statement. I'm going to make that controversial statement, put it out there. Monty Python's Flying Circus was a great show. The episode guest stars Kathleen Turner as Stacey Lavelle. She does a very good job. Very good job. Yeah, apparently she was very professional, was excellent to work with as well. The episode begins with the opening of the Center for Geriatric Medicine with Dr. Hibbert is the MC or the host or whatever. It's a little strange.
Well, there's a lot of old people in Springfield.
I guess that's true. Matlock is there to bring in, I get to have the old people show up. I don't know why you need the crowd for.
Well, otherwise they would all be at home napping.
I mean, it's geriatric medicine. It doctors stay in business, not like they don't need to publicize. People get sick.
True, but they wanted to be a media field day kind of thing.
Well, Matlock shows up, is immediately ambushed and attacked by the elderly crowd. They steal his hair and his pills, as we learn from Jasper. And apparently Matlock dies.
Well, he does take his heart pills.
Yeah, and this is the character Matlock. That is specified. This is not Andy Griffith. This is Matlock. Nope. The character has shown up.
I laughed. It was some kind of a impersonator.
They don't clarify. It's very strange, but Abe is feeling a sort of malaise. He doesn't know what to do for the most part.
Well, he feels the clammy hand of death on his shoulder. That's enough to offset anyone.
Except it's his own hand. But
well, same difference, you know.
And we see him gather up the family and tell them that he's going to give them his inheritance early.
Hello! As you may know, I might not be around much longer. So I've decided to give you your inheritance before I die. That way I can see you enjoy it. Lisa, I know you like reading and so forth. To you, I give you my lifetime of personal correspondence.
Thanks, Mr. Simpson. Stop. Your constant letters are becoming a nuisance. Stop. If you do not cease, I will be forced to pursue legal action. Stop. Signed, Boris Karloff, Hollywood, California.
I don't remember that bit whatsoever.
Really? The whole thing with the Boris Karloff just sticks with me to this day, and every time I see it, I just laugh.
It's just a weird thing, Boris Karloff? What, Grandpa is obsessed?
He was a big deal back then.
Well, yes, he was. He was a fabulous, great actor, very, you know, memorable, but whatever. He leaves for the family a cigar box full of what he calls 1918 Liberty Head silver dollars, which do not exist in real life.
Nope. No dollars ever made of silver, as far as I remember.
They stopped making them, like, in early 1900s, late 1800s. I did find a silver half dollar they made in 1918. And they are worth at roughly $2,500 in mint condition, which Grandpa does specify mint condition whole dollars at today's value. But the Simpsons, instead of, you know, maybe investigating to see how much these mint-condition coins from 80 years ago are worth, they decide to go to the mall and spend them like normal currency.
Well, you can't just hold on to money, Robbie. That'd be crazy.
Well, even just the value of the silver itself is worth probably more than a dollar.
That's true. Silver's worth a lot more now than it was.
I don't know. Okay, but they go to the mall, and we get kind of a montage of sorts of the family shopping, Grandpa being an old man breaking toys. Like,
well, you know, obviously they don't make them like they used to.
They don't. He when I step on these toys, they sure break. Which I don't know. It felt very much like those people who destroy iPhones on YouTube for no reason.
They're just gonna rise out of, yeah, this totally breaks.
This thing is garbage. When I smash it as hard as I can, it breaks.
I know, it's sledgehammer, come on.
We get a little bit of Lisa going crazy for Malibu Stacy.
I'm warning you, Mom. I may get a little crazy.
Oh, I understand, honey. When I was your age, there was
Hey, horse face! Get your ugly pie hooks off that summer fun set!
I swear to God, horse face and your ugly pie, or your pie hooks off that summer fun set just...
Lisa. Yeah, you get to see a little bit of the ugly side of Lisa. And I think that's kind of what this episode mostly is saying, is about kind of merchandise and how, like, consumerism and how it is kind of gross in some ways. But we kind of get more into that as we go along. The family is on their way home. And Grandpa is being kind of what he is this whole episode, which is annoying.
Thanks for buying us these toys, Grandpa.
Bah! Why didn't you get something useful like storm windows or a nice pipe organ? I'm thirsty. Ooh, what smells like mustard? But you're a lot of ugly people in your neighborhood. Oh, look at that one. Oh, my glaucoma just got worse. The president is a Democrat. Hello? I can't unbuckle my seatbelt.
It's just, there's a lot of that in this episode.
Well, to be fair, that's how a lot of old people are. It's like they have no need to self-censor anymore, so why would they shut up? They want to share their experience with the world.
Yeah, they just, they're past the point of needing to, I guess, at a certain point. Like, they don't, I don't know, they're so, but it becomes the, it is the B story. It's Grandpa trying to, I don't know what, I think that's my only problem with it, is that they don't really ever clarify really what his problem is. Do you?
Well, I don't think he really has a problem.
Well,
it's like we said in the beginning, his thing is a malaise. He doesn't know what to do with the rest of his life. It's not going to be very long, and he wants to feel useful again.
Okay. I guess that's the, I guess that's what it is. But they don't really, I guess they show that a lot of the time by him rambling. And family and his family not liking him. And Homer lays that out for him. He's like, "You're old and you're annoying. We don't really like you that much."
You're a sour-headed old coot.
There, yep.
I like the word coot.
Coot is a good, yeah, it's good, and it works in this case especially. Lisa brings home her new talking Malibu Stacy that she got at the mall, and is using it in a very kind of like a diorama that I think Lisa would do, and is treating her like she's holding a press conference. She's kind of doing a little like scene with
UN.
With the UN, okay, is that what it is? I missed that. So Stacy talks.
A hush falls over the General Assembly as Stacy approaches the podium to deliver what will no doubt be a stirring and memorable address.
I wish they taught shopping in school.
Oh.
Let's bake some cookies for the boys.
Come on, Stacy. I've waited my whole life to hear you speak. Don't you have anything relevant to say?
Don't ask me. I'm just a girl.
Right on. Say it, sister.
It's not funny, Bart. Millions of girls will grow up thinking that this is the right way to act. That they can never be anything more than vacuous ninnies whose only goal is to look pretty, land a rich husband, and spend all day on the phone with their equally vacuous friends talking about how damn terrific it is to look pretty and have a rich husband.
Lisa angry. Yeah. I always touches my heart. It takes a lot for Lisa to get worked up like that, and, you know, for her to actually show her outrage.
It's pretty awesome, to be honest.
Yeah, it's pretty
good.
That's why
toys today are better, because nowadays you could pop that chip out of there, reprogram it with some good phrases, and pop it right back in, tell the establishment to go to hell.
Well, this is based on a true, actual thing that happened. Barbie had, a Barbie was released, which obviously Malibu Stacy is based on Barbie, but Barbie released a talking version of Barbie, and it had a numerous, like over 250 possible phrases it could say, and of that set, a smaller subset would be in randomly placed in any Barbie you bought. So you don't know necessarily what you're going to get out of that pool. And one of the things they said was math is tough. Barbie says math is tough, and that was there was outrage about it at the time. And I think Mattel had to they recalled all those Barbies and would replace them and took that so that none of them said that anymore.
See, now that's just crap. Because I mean, okay, I understand not wanting to discourage girls from math, but come on, I'm an engineer. Math is hard, and a lot of the times you could also say reading is hard or
Matt,
shopping is stupid. But,
Matt, did you get any toys in your when you were a child that specifically said things are hard? Boys' toys.
I got lots of ones that said that emotions were hard and you shouldn't cry. Does that count?
It's a different problem. It counts, but it's different. And I was gonna say that this girls' toys problem is still sort of there. Like it's not as overt, but like I just saw today with all the Star Wars coverage that one of the toy sets. I have yet to see the movie yet. Matt has and tells me it's good.
What? You haven't seen it? Oh, I don't even think I can talk to you anymore. End the podcast.
It's been a week. What am I? What am I, like a child? I don't go to movies when they come out. What are you, crazy?
But this is Star Wars. How?
I don't care that much. But just
anyway, I'm pretty sure I know the toy sex.
But Rey, the name.
Well, it's got Finn, Poe, Kylo Ren, random stormtrooper, random TIE pilot, and no Rey.
Yeah,
it's which, like, really?
That's the thing. Like, and there was the same similar thing with the Avengers, where there's no Black Widow in a lot of the toy sets. So it's still a problem in a sort of way. And I feel like this episode is about that, about representation in toys and about how young girls, you know, are often shaped by, in children in general, are shaped by the toys they play with. So this episode is interesting for that reason, and the fact that it hasn't necessarily, we haven't gotten past it yet. It still works. This episode still makes sense today. But Lisa gets upset and flings the talking Malibu Stacy out the window, which Grandpa has been energized by watching a Buzz Cola commercial and drinking some Buzz Cola. That's all it takes, apparently.
That and the bubbles burn your tongue, so that keeps you moving.
And he's riding his bicycle, and it gets the doll gets stuck in the spokes, and he goes flying directly into a tomb. Which, they've used that bit multiple times. Grandpa landing and being in tombs, at least.
And feeling good, feeling natural.
Yeah, like it's a nice.
To be fair, you know, if someone dug a hole in the ground, especially here in Florida, and it was cool and it was quiet and dark, that's kind of nice. No, and you know,
okay, Matt, that's you're all right. You're a vampire, got it. But that's how. Yep. But that's how we go from a very serious moment to Grandpa landing in a tomb, and then we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Lisa attempting to get her friends to, you know, admit that there is a problem with what Malibu Stacy says. Unfortunately, one of her friends has a slightly different problem.
There's something wrong with what my Stacy says.
My spidey sense is tingling. Anybody call for a web slinger?
Now that would be a much better toy, Web Slinger Barbie.
This is also based on a real thing that happened, Matt.
Yeah, I know, it's great.
The Barbie Liberation Organization, I believe they were called, or BLOW. It's like they existed in Springfield already, but they would go and swap out G.I. Joe and Barbie voice things so that the G.I. Joes would have Barbies and Barbie would have the G.I. Joes. In this case,
that just sounds awesome.
Malibu Stacy gets a Spider-Man.
Hey, and now we have Spider-Gwen. It's all a big circle. Although Spider-Gwen's a lot cooler than Malibu Stacy, just though.
And there's been Spider-Women, many of them.
Well, there have been Spider-Women since, like, the 60s, so that's not really a new thing.
Correct, correct.
Anyway, Lisa tries to bring up to the girls that it's sexist what Malibu Stacy is saying. And, of course, the girls are immature. They laugh and giggle and just don't take her seriously. She then takes Malibu Stacy home, and, she tries to get the family involved, but the family is, they're a little tired of her crusades.
Lisa, ordinarily I'd say you should stand up for what you believe in, but you've been doing that an awful lot lately.
Yeah, you made us march in that gay rights parade.
And we can't watch Fox, because they own those chemical weapon plants in Syria.
I can't believe you're just going to stand by as your daughters grow up in a world where this is their role model.
I had a Malibu Stacy when I was little, and I turned out all right. Now let's forget our troubles with a big bowl of strawberry ice cream.
Now let's forget our troubles with a big bowl of strawberry ice cream.
Boom, mic drop.
It's so great. It might be my favorite thing in this episode is that Marge is, it basically, like, that it's showing you what the product that it actually is. You are the product a lot of the time of your cultural upbringing, and that involves the toys you play with. So
if you're a girl and all your toys talk about is staying home and taking care of the kids and shopping, well, that's probably what you're gonna end up doing.
Well, it certainly doesn't help if, you know, creating a culture where any other things are acceptable. It's
exactly
there.
Lisa calls to complain and finds out there's a factory tour so she can complain in person. Marge makes sure that Lisa is not going to throw red paint at them, which apparently is literal. I'm not quite sure what she has against the Keebler people, but apparently she did at some point.
I do like that they bring in the red paint thing, which is a very much like a PETA, you know, throwing it on fur, and then keep the poor Keebler elves What I mean, they, you know,
they're being worked to death in slave-like conditions.
No, making those cookies.
Cookies.
Yeah.
But we see the factory when they later go on the tour. We see their entire factory is apparently staffed by either prisoners or ex-cons. It looks like
very,
you know,
thuggish
old men,
thuggish dudes. Yeah, they're all gruff and grim. So
yeah. So there's no fairy dust, as the lady tries to convince her that there's none whatsoever. Sorry. Then you get to watch a video of the history of Malibu Stacy, wherein it started out as a doll that you could also eat, which guarantees repeat sales. But apparently dried onion meal is not the tastiest thing in the world, so they decided to go to plastic.
That's so gross. That's really...
Not as gross as a milkshake, but still.
I don't know. I might go for the milkshake. Over that,
over
at
dried
least,
onion meal.
Well, at least, you know, it's wet. Like, it will go down. Like, dried onion meal, it's like, ugh. Nothing. Like, imagine that without, like, something to drink with. Ugh.
That'd be pretty awful.
Ugh, gross.
But we also learned through this video that Smithers owns the largest collection of Malibu Stacy, and is going to StacyCon 94 in...
San Diego. Airport San Hilton Diego, in San Diego, of course. San Diego.
Yeah. And then as Lisa is attempting to make her point, the woman giving the tour is called into the executive's office, where she is immediately sexually harassed, because yes. That's just the kind of company Malibu Stacy is made
not,
by.
Not subtly either. Very overt sexual harassment. But mentioning Smithers as the owner of the world's largest Malibu Stacy collection, Bill Oakley, who co-wrote this episode, his wife was an enthusiastic collector of Barbies, and he went to many conventions, and at one point met the man who had, at that time, the world's largest Barbie collection. And so apparently Smithers became the person whose character was
represented,
kind of,
that guy?
Yeah, who's morphed, like, they moved, hey, Smithers, and it makes sense. I think that's a great choice, honestly.
It really is. I mean, that's the thing about collecting is a lot of times people collect even though they have, you know, not even a super intense interest in it. It's just, it's collecting. It's what people do. It's a hobby, essentially. But Smithers is probably one of the people that is very interested in Malibu Stacy. But after their tour, Grandpa and Lisa are sitting at the table lamenting the fact that no one listens to them.
It's awful being a kid. No one listens to you.
It's rotten being old. No one listens to you.
I'm a white male, age 18 to 49. Everyone listens to me, no matter how dumb my suggestions are.
But I'm not going to accomplish anything just sitting here.
And griping, it's time for...
Action! I've got to talk to that woman who invented Malibu Stacy and see if I can get her to...
Come out of retirement. I'm going to give me a job. A real Malibu! And see if Stacy can help invent me, young hell.
You're getting a job.
Yes, I'm going where the action is.
And just so we're clear, Homer's dumb suggestion was nuts and gum together at last, because that's what you need. Chew on some nuts and then it turned into gum.
That's so gross, too. I don't want that. What? That's the opposite of what I want from nuts.
I don't know how that would work. I mean, how would you swallow the nuts without keeping the gut? Anyway. We then see Grandpa trying to work at Krusty Burger, where he is operating the drive-through like it is a radio from World War II and failing miserably. He has no idea what they serve. He seems confused by the very concept of French fries, and it kind of goes downhill from there.
Grandpa's a bad employee. He's not good.
Yes, he is.
I don't know. If it wasn't Springfield, he's bad.
Yeah, I have had people like him attempt to serve me at fast food restaurants, and he just kind of got a grin and bear it, unfortunately. But Grandpa has other talents, probably. we see a little more in Grandpa Simpson and the Grumbling Grandson, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, et cetera, et cetera.
It's a long title. It's too exhausting to go through here. We then see Lisa, who is looking up Smithers and trying to talk to him about finding Stacy Lavelle. And we get probably the most memorable line in this entire episode as Smithers boots up his computer.
Hello, Smithers. You're quite good at turning me on.
You probably should ignore that.
And thus a soundbite was born that was spread across the internet at the time. And It's been so many people's ringtones and notification sounds ever since.
That, it's, when you really think about it, like, the amount of effort Smithers would have to go through to make that boot up sequence work on a computer in 1994.
It would have been astounding. Months of work, probably.
It would have been a lot of work, and he would have had to record Mr. Burns, because that's an obvious voice capture. That is not a computer making that sound. Placed. Yeah, that's... Smithers is dedicated.
He really is. Once he prints out the information, Lisa does manage to track down Stacey Lavelle and finds out that her house is essentially the Malibu Stacey dream house. And with that, we cut to commercial.
And... we come back, Lisa and Stacy have a discussion. They talk it out. They learn Stacy lets Lisa in after Lisa plays one of the clips up to her PA, her intercom security thing. her giant fortress like gate outside. But essentially, Lisa lays out the problems with this and kind of lays it at the feet of Stacy.
This is a problem. But what do you expect me to do?
Change what she says. It's your company.
Not since I was forced out in 1974. They said my way of thinking just wasn't cost-effective.
That's awful.
Well, that, and I was funneling profits to the Viet Cong.
But you are Malibu Stacy, and as long as she has your name, you have a responsibility. I'd be mortified if someone ever made a lousy product with the Simpson name on it.
I may have had things in common with Stacy in the beginning, but 30 years of living her lifestyle taught me some very harsh lessons. 5 husbands. Ken, Johnny, Joe, Dr. Colossus, Steve Austin.
Steve Austin, huh? That's an interesting addition.
Oh, the $6 million man.
Oh, that's Steve Austin. I'm thinking the football player.
The football player?
Yeah. Wasn't Steve Austin a football player?
The wrestler, you mean?
Maybe that was it. I don't
Stone
know.
Cold Steve Austin? One of the most famous wrestlers of all time. Probably behind The Rock, probably, and Hulk Hogan. You know, one of those top three for sure of most famous wrestlers. Formerly Stunning Steve Austin, member of the Hollywood Blondes.
Yes, yes, I do.
No, nothing?
As long as it ends this conversation.
Oh, man. That's too bad, Matt. Come on. He's a fellow podcaster.
Really? Well, that's interesting.
Very popular. Very popular, of course. He's interviews people about wrestling and other stuff. Has his own beer. You don't want to talk about Steve Austin? Stone Cold?
No, I'm good. I'm good. We can move on with the episode.
Okay. Well, Lisa's like, well, let's start work on getting, figuring out a solution. And I believe Stacy, a line I did not include, but she says, I'm too drunk.
When you get old and you have a lot of money, that's totally believable.
She's just drinking in the middle of the day drinking by herself. Not necessarily great. We see Grandpa still be terrible at his job. I believe this is when his teeth, a sandwich ends up biting one of the customers. He puts his teeth in a burger or in between buns.
Oh, old people and pranks. They go together so well.
He's not even trying. He's just trying to be like, I guess that's time. He's trying to be youthful, but the young person who's doing his job is doing a much better job than he doesn't look nearly as happy as Grandpa does. Mm-hmm. But we cut back to Lisa, and she has discovered a solution to this problem. We'll make their own doll.
I've got the solution. You and I are going to make our own talking doll. She'll have the wisdom of Gertrude Stein and the wit of Kathy Geiswhite, the tenacity of Nina Totenberg, and the common sense of Elizabeth Cady Stanton. And to top it off, the down-to-earth good looks of Eleanor Roosevelt.
All right, we'll make your doll.
Stacy, please, I must have you back. Just come for a ride with me and my mobile command unit.
Joe, I told you, it's over. Release me from your kung fu grip.
Fine. I'll bomb your house into the ground, Missy.
Not a good solution to relationship problems is bombings, generally.
No, but, he's a military man. He does what he knows.
But a quick breakdown on all the women Lisa mentioned. Gertrude Stein is a modernist author.
One of the founders of feminism.
Well, I don't. She was certainly a feminist. I don't think that term even existed at that time. But it
true.
I don't enjoy anything she ever wrote. I was as a English lit major. I had to read Autobiography of Alice B. Toklas. I did not really enjoy it, but she certainly was creative. Kathy Geiswhite is the creator of the comic Kathy.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about her wit being involved, because
I don't mind Kathy. It's kind of harmless. Nina Totenberg is a newswoman, a journalist, works for I believe NPR and many and several other news organizations. Elizabeth Cady Stanton is a suffragist, and of course Eleanor Roosevelt is a first lady.
And Mary to Franklin, not Theodore.
Not yes, precisely. But they begin a prototyping stage of the new doll, and they're trying to figure out its hair solution.
Make sure you get my mom's hair just right.
I think we'll use someone different for the hair.
How about me?
There's something not quite.
How about me?
How about me?
You all have hideous hair. I mean, from a design point of view.
Put it that way, yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of a shot
it's
at
totally
Matt.
Okay, if it's from a design perspective.
Kind of a shot at Matt Groening. Well, I mean, he designed all those characters. That's what true. They are. And frankly, actually, I know the tenet of his cartooning was always like be able to recognize a character through silhouette. And
yeah,
that's pretty good, honestly. Like you can instantly recognize all of them through silhouette. Then they get to naming the doll.
All right, now all we need is a name.
How about Blabbermouth, the jerky doll for jerks?
How about Minerva, after the Roman goddess of wisdom?
Not enough commercial appeal.
Wendy Windbag? Ugly Doris? Hortense the Mule Face Doll?
I think we should name her after Lisa. We'll call her Lisa Lionheart.
No, Loudmouth Lisa! Stupid Lisa Garbage Face! I can't stand this any longer. Somebody please pay attention to me. Hello? Pay attention to me. Look at me. I'm Bart. Look at me.
I want to feel like there's something to Bart needing that attention.
I think it's just it essentially echoes what Lisa said earlier about no one listening to her as a kid, and now people are listening to her but not to Bart. And so she's really not, paying it forward at all.
And I really, Hortense the Mule-Faced Doll? Is that what he...
Yes.
That's really...
I also take great issue to her using Minerva instead of Athena, since no one knows who Minerva is, but a lot of people know who Athena is. Come on now.
I don't know. I feel like the name is the first thing you do. Like, that's the... Before you do anything, you do the name, and then you craft the doll around the name. But whatever. Lisa also does some lines... for the doll. She is not nearly as good as Krusty is. We cut back to Grandpa. He's still a terrible employee. he gives up at the end. He's presented by like the fact the old people. What is the old one of the old ladies? I don't know if she's ever named. She appears more than one time in the show.
She kind of resembles Mrs. Glick.
Yeah, a little bit. But she was wondering why this fast food, why they don't have soft-boiled eggs. And Grandpa is almost, like, takes a turn as that frustrated employee, but then realizes, no, I should be on the other side of this. I should be one of the people demanding soft-boiled eggs. And so he...
Because old people's job is to find fault with everything in the world.
Speaking of the holiday season and having to be around old people, family that do that, yep. Yep, they do. But at the same time, Lisa Lionheart is going on sale and makes the news, an entire show of Get Brockman, because his daughter apparently... The chronology doesn't work here, Matt, because Get Brockman's daughter has the doll already.
Maybe she got one of the early ones. Lisa was like, hey, this chick's dad is the local news guy.
Oh, I mean,
so
leak.
Let's give her a prototype.
Oh, that makes sense. Clever. Viral marketing. Viral marketing. I see how it is. Yeah, that works. I like it. But Kent Brockman does an entire episode focusing on that.
Rather than the president being shot.
No, he's a murderer. That's it. He has committed murder.
He did the murdering. That's right.
Yeah, the president has committed a murder. Well, who cares? The doll is much more important.
No one cares.
No. And, but then we get to the grand opening, the grand debut of Lisa Lionheart.
They changed Malibu Stacy! She is better than ever!
Wait, don't be fooled! She's just a regular Malibu Stacy with a stupid cheap hat! She still embodies all the awful stereotypes she did before!
But she's got a new hat!
I want it! Well, I guess you can't beat big business. There's just no room for the little guy.
Trust in yourself and you can achieve anything.
You know, if we get through to just that one little girl, it'll all be worth it.
Yes, particularly if that little girl happens to pay $46,000 for that doll.
What?
Oh, nothing.
That's I do like that little bit of cynicism injected in the end, not to make so it doesn't make the ending completely sappy.
Yeah.
And the tail on the doll could, I mean, it was featured on television. I would think that maybe after that initial thing, you could keep selling. The doll doesn't just disappear. Like, you get more
true
chances.
I feel like it's one of those, it's kind of a long tail phenomenon for that particular doll. And retail space was precious in the 90s. So
just got pushed out.
You'll find it at outlet malls.
Oh, it went to the bargain bin that quickly?
Exactly.
Okay. So Lisa's Lionheart's debut is derailed by Malibu Stacy's new hat. The Malibu Stacy's company has been we do see a government, some shady government person throw a brick at the Simpsons house along the way, but...
Well, you know, that's how effective the government is.
Ooh, commentary. Listen to Matt.
Well, he reminds me a lot of the corrupt senator in Lisa Goes to Washington.
Lisa Goes to Washington, yeah. Yeah, it's not...
He reminds me a lot of that guy.
Yeah, but the Malibu Stacy Corporation successfully destroys the debut of Lisa Lionheart. Lisa is... discouraged, but happy that maybe, you know, at least they reached they had a kind of a moral victory in that they did get a doll. I'm surprised, honestly, that the doll that prototyping and creating a line of dolls was only $46,000.
That's not a lot.
Not really for the amount of work that is required to set up a standard for that.
That's about how much it would cost today, I think, now that 3D printing has gone down to be so cheap.
Yeah, if you did like a short run of dolls. Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know. Again, we are not doll experts, but I would imagine that you could figure out a way to make it work. I'm sure there are Kickstarters for dolls, guaranteed.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. But the episode actually ends with Homer calling back to an earlier bit where he was kicked out of the mall for trying to do an homage to Big on a giant keyboard. He ends the episode with the same thing, but playing the Simpsons theme on the giant keyboard and destroying it some more.
Yeah, he's not quite as light as Robin Williams or Tom Hanks, whichever one was in Big.
Tom Hanks, Matt. Robin Williams.
Okay.
That's the other, that's one of the other Body Switch movies. It's not even Body Switch.
So many in
that's,
the late 80s.
No, that's not Body Switch. Robin Williams was it Jack when he was a child in the body of an adult because he aged quickly?
Yes, that one was much more depressing.
Francis Ford Coppola directed that. Did you know that?
That makes sense now. That's why it was so depressing.
I don't know. It's weird. Like, he directs The Godfather and Apocalypse Now and Jack with Robin Williams. And Jennifer Lopez is in that movie. Did you know that? She plays the teacher. She plays the teacher.
I was completely unaware.
It's one of her very early acting roles, I believe. I could be wrong. I don't remember things very well. But overall...
Spouting stuff off.
I'm just, making wild claims. The overall, good, solid episode.
It really is.
Yeah. I still don't know how I feel about it overall, because it's not there. You know, of all the serious Lisa episodes, it's not one of my favorites, and it's not, I don't know, it has funny stuff in it. It's very quotable, but it's also not one of my favorite funny, I don't know. You're going to have to guide me, Matt.
We have about 10 minutes to figure out how you feel.
15. You're going to have to guide me through our ranking of best episode ever at the end of the show. No submissions for this for my favorite episode, but if you have a particular favorite, send it in to simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com, and I will read it on air when we get to that particular episode. Next up, Matt, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb the old alt.tv.simpsons news group that was active at the time. It is archived on Google Groups if you want to check it out yourself. It's still active to this day, certainly not as much as it used to be, but still there. So people still post and stuff about new episodes. Consensus on this one, Matt, is that everyone loves it.
you know, that's really weird considering their disparagement for Cape Fear, but... I don't know.
Like,
it's, it seems they really enjoy the more mediocre episodes.
I don't know. Like, it's a very smart episode. Like, there's that going... I think a lot of it is, like, they don't like the silliness sometimes. Like, they don't... I think that's what I'm kind of getting in like, from reading this over the weeks and seeing people's... Like, there's certain people who post a review every single week, and they give it a report... They have, like, a report card and everything, and... I feel like they don't like the departure from more realistic kind of standards. They like a little bit of silliness, but not, you know, they don't like Sideshow Bob stepping on rakes 10 times in a row.
That is pretty annoying.
I don't know. But, I don't know.
You know, I feel like they're really going after the whole, oh, The Simpsons has to be realistic kind of thing. And if they even slide a little bit towards the more cartoony, people start getting up in arms.
I don't know.
Which, you know, I can see that position, but I think they're just being overly sensitive.
I know. I'm trying to put myself in their position. You know, they were watching this as they came out and they're adults. And I don't know. There's also, it's weird, but. At the same time, this is right about the time, I believe, when the news groups were opening up to AOL accounts. And so they, all those news groups were being bombarded by AOL accounts, and you're seeing a little bit of backlash to that. People making fun of them, for the most part, for them not knowing what they're doing. And finally, I believe Duckman is premiering shortly, I believe in 2 weeks after
the this. The RPG or the TV show?
RPG?
You don't listen to System Mastery, do you?
No, not often.
Oh, man.
I bowed out on that one. It got a little too dry for my taste.
Oh, man.
I mean, I dabble if I see them. You know, I still follow them on Twitter.
They've gotten really, really good, and especially their April Fool's episode for this year, which was about the Duckman RPG. So don't listen to that.
It's a real thing, or they made it up?
No. They completely made it up. I'm going to spoil it for you right here.
Okay.
It is hilarious, though.
Well, it's an April Fool's episode, but the Duckman, the television show, not the made-up. That's a very nerdy reference, Matt, that you're referring to one podcast.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
But apparently someone spotted Gabor Chupo, the owner of the president of Klasky Chupo, the guy, people who animated The Simpsons for the first three seasons, was on a show on CNN because they animated Duckman. And someone finally noticed that he looks and sounds like Nick Riviera, which is, yes, that's, huh. No, that, I mean, that's, Nick Riviera was patterned after Gabriel Chupo. They did that on purpose.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
It's not a coincidence. They purposefully made Dr. Nick like Gabriel Chupo. But that's about it. It's more kind of befuddlement about what they like and don't like. It's, you know, it's kind of speaks to the generational changes about and how we feel about The Simpsons. And, you know, as I look at it, I understand more and more why Simpsons writers and showrunners and producers and all those guys, like, they don't necessarily react as much when people saw, you know, the classic years and quote unquote, that's kind of stuff, because they've seen it change so much. Like, when they were making those episodes, there were people who didn't like those either. Like, well, so when they make an episode in season 18 and someone doesn't like it, they can't, you know, they're like, oh, well, I don't know what to say. There's people who don't like the things we made all the time. You know, it necessarily hasn't changed. But I, you know, you get a little bit insight into that perspective. Time for our next segment. It's time for a listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Apu moment? Coming on the heels of Homer and Apu, the very first kind of Apu-focused episode. Tons of great answers. Several I had forgotten about entirely, which is always the case, and that's always, I really always enjoy that. First up, we have Scott at Pure Cromulence. When his mom visits and falls outside the Quickie Mart, Apu says, yes, this will buy me more time. Just... His mother hurts herself. Oh, that's hilarious. That's great. Ryan at EID9. Let's take a relaxed attitude towards work and watch the baseball match. The New York Mets are my favorite squadron. It's great. Callum at Aragorn McBatman. His answer simply is, me. Which is a reference to the hummingbird in Homer and Apu. At S. Austin 140. His answer, favorite Apu moment would be when he rips in his Skinner over his plans to write Billy and the Clonosaurus. That's, and the, with the time lapse and the anger
Is there a new version of Billy and the Clonosaurus? Billy's World, maybe?
Maybe. That might be it.
Practically the same movie, just in a little bit in the future.
Yeah, it's a little further up. There's a dude who used to be a kind of a chunky, funny guy. Now he's like a buff, serious guy.
Exactly.
Right. We have Israel Izzy. I love the scene in The Sweetest Apu where Manjula, out of habit, rejects Apu, and she immediately suspects something, and he says, "Oh, I'm just happy to lie here appreciating and respecting you." Sarah's answer, basically everything in Much Apu About Nothing, but especially when he starts to go into detail about the causes for the U.S. Civil War, but the citizenship exam proctor cuts him off and says, "Just say slavery." Which is really good. Sean, his answer, "There is so much I wanted to see and to do and to have done to me."
Especially that last one.
Yes. Okay. Steven, his answer, "There are rumors that you are a Hindu. Is this true? By the many arms of Vishnu, I swear it is a lie." And finally, Brian's answer, "From Lisa the Vegetarian, when he's up on Apu's rooftop garden in the shade with Paul and Linda McCartney. I love when Paul asks if Lisa liked to hear a song, followed by Apu banging on the bongos singing Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band."
A very bad rendition of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts
terrible. Club Band. Very Apu, not great. Apu can sing, too. We've seen multiple episodes, the Apu singing.
And it's not good.
No,
it's really not.
That's too bad. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm going to have to go with also Much Apu About Nothing, which a lot of these are from. But when he is talking to Fat Tony and he says, "Oh, most humble and gracious thanks." And Fat Tony says, whoa, you're an American now. Cut the courtesy. That's that Apu in a nutshell.
That's,
he's way too courteous to be a real American.
Yeah, he's very. My answer is from Homer and Apu. It is the. When Marge and Apu are shopping, grocery shopping, and his tips for shopping, for getting in the right line. I was thinking hard about it. I'm like, there's so many good ones, but that's the thing I think about the most. Like, of everything Apu has done, like, that's the reference that always, you know, clicks back for me. So.
I would like to inject a close second was in, what is the name of that episode? It's in, like, the teen seasons. It's the one where the Simpsons get kicked out of the country for being anti-American or something stupid along those lines. They go to see Apu in the Quickie Mart and they ask about his children. It's, oh, no, those are their pre-witch hunt names. Their new names are like Condoleezza, Coke, Pepsi, Superman, and the best one, Manifest Destiny.
That's a good name.
Best name ever.
That's a good name for a child. Sure. next week's question is suggested by Andy on Twitter, and I do enjoy it a lot. What episode would make the best premise for a movie? I.e. Camp Krusty was originally planned to be a movie before they realized they couldn't fill up an entire an episode's length of for it. But of all the episodes, which could you think could be expounded upon and become a movie? And I gotta think about it. I have a couple. I think I know my answer already, actually. Sadly enough.
Wow.
But I'll think about it. It always, you guys' answers always kind of influence me a little bit because I see things. I'm like, oh, clearly that's better. That's much better. Yes, that's right. I will post this question on all our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. And again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Follow us, like us, subscribe, you know, all those places. You can see the listener question and I'll post other, you know, relevant Simpsons stuff when I can. And we all tons of great fans those places. You know, every single week I'm kind of overwhelmed by their participation.
It's true. We love you guys. Make Robbie work extra hard.
Yeah, especially over Christmas because I'm not busy enough. You know, my vacations. Matt, it is time.
Yes.
It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each challenge each other with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, and one hard. Try and stump the other. This season, for season 5, we have a wager. Whoever loses the challenge at the end of the season will have to drink something we're calling the milkshake. Matt has already mentioned it once. It will contain a blended mixture of various Simpsons-influenced food items, enough beer, an onion ring for Homer and Marge's engagement ring, some slices of American cheese, some cough syrup, a Simpsons donut, many. The list is there. We're going to work on that, finalizing as we get closer. As we speak, Matt is up by 1 point, and only 1 point, even with his nefarious, finagling of the rules over the past couple weeks.
I have proof now. I have people who have listened to the episode.
You mean you
and
have one?
That...
You have one person who you are married to agreed with you.
I think anyone out there who's married knows that there's no one who's a greater critic of you than your wife or
my
husband,
wife
so,
supports yeah. everything I do, Matt. I don't know what you're talking about. You need to work on your relationship. Clearly, that I think.
I think you need to talk to your wife more.
Well, it works better this way, Matt. You just, she's not going to listen to this. Your wife is, so it doesn't matter.
True. She doesn't have time.
But let's see. I think I'll start us off. I think you started us off last week. I don't remember, but I'll start us off. These questions, all of them, are from Marge Be Not Proud, which I wrote about recently for our Patreon, and for the Christmas spirit, because it is the second Simpsons Christmas episode. It took them a pretty long time to get back to Christmas after their very first episode. So your easy question, Matt, is what video game does Bart want in Marge Be Not Proud?
Bone Storm.
That is correct.
Give me Bone Storm or go to hell.
That's very true. Give me an easy question, Matt.
All right. Your very, very easy question. What is Homer's middle initial and middle name?
J&J.
That is correct. J-A-Y is Homer's middle name.
Although, the first part of that is easy. That second part, I don't think that's an easy question. Most people, they don't know that.
Well, I was trying to phrase the question so that you realize that they're the same thing. So,
well, I knew.
I'll try hard.
They're the same thing. I'm just giving grief. Your medium question, also obviously from the same episode, who does the voice of the security guard, Don Brodka?
Don Brodka. Oh, man. That is... Oh, God. I know this. I know this. Oh, God. Who is it? He's so famous. I have no idea. This is your medium question? Jeez.
Lawrence Turney is his name.
Who is that?
He's an actor. He played Hollywood Tough Guys for many years.
Huh.
He was in Reservoir Dogs, is probably a movie you might have seen him in. He played the oldest kind of dude at their meetup in the beginning. Okay. Apparently he's a monster to work with, and he was crazy in Marge Be Not Proud, but we'll talk about that when we finally get there.
Finally.
Give me a medium question, Matt.
All right, your medium question. In Wild Bart's Can't Be Broken, what do the kids use as their broadcast antenna?
Ooh, this is your medium question?
Yeah, that's pretty easy to me.
Pretty easy to me.
Based on your medium question, apparently you thought that was pretty easy.
I knew that answer before I gave it to you. Without looking it up, I knew the answer to that. Let's see. Broadcast antenna, Wild Bart's Can't Be Broken. I don't know.
Okay. The coffee cup on the billboard that Wiggum puts up.
I could not think of that. I haven't seen that episode maybe since it came out.
Oh, wow. It's not a bad episode.
No, from what I remember, my vague memories of it, I liked it. But okay, finally, Matt, your hard question. When Bart is tempted to steal Bone Storm, which video game characters serve as Bart's conscience and... for which side, meaning good and evil?
Well, I'm pretty sure the only good one is Lee Carvello from Lee Carvello's putting challenge. I'm pretty sure that Mario and Sonic are both egging him on. And, oh, man. Oh, and Donkey Kong.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer, yes.
Forgot about Luigi.
Oh, Luigi. Wait.
Mario, Luigi, Sonic, and Donkey Kong.
Mario and Luigi?
Yep.
Damn.
Dan Castellaneta does the voices of both Mario and Luigi. Probably does all of them, honestly.
Yeah. Definitely sounds like him.
Okay, Matt, give me a hard question.
All right, your hard question. What are the names of Homer and Ned's Vegas wives, and whose wife is who?
I've asked you this question, and I still don't remember. Let me think.
They're in two separate episodes.
I know. I can picture them. It doesn't help. You mean, let me think. They have very Vegas-y stripper names. I don't know. Tell me.
All right. It is Amber and Ginger. Amber is homeless, is Ned's, and she's a little more peppermint than the Lord is used to.
That's good. All right. So we both did awful this week.
1 point apiece, I think it is.
Yep. That's it. 1 point apiece. So that's good. Gosh. You're very close, Matt. Just missed on Luigi.
So yeah, close. I know, man.
So that, close, yet so far.
Yeah.
But I have more questions for you, Matt.
Oh, goody.
These are from John, who sent us a laundry list of them. These are all sports in The Simpsons questions. You ready? I'm going to give you quick, rapid fire. Knock them out, all right?
Okay.
Who is the manager of Dredger Tatum based on Don King?
Oh, Lucius. Ah, no idea.
Sweet. Lucius Sweet.
Lucius Sweet, damn.
What sport did Homer compete in during high school until his dad made him screw up?
Sport? Oh, gymnastics.
Correct. In Bart and Todd Flanders' mini golf competition, who wins?
It ends in a tie.
Correct. Who does Lisa replace as goalie for Apu's pee-wee hockey team?
Milhouse.
Correct. Who is the star quarterback for the Springfield Adams that is friends with Ned Flanders?
Oh, crap. Stan, I don't know, Stan something?
Stan the boy Taylor. Why can't Steve Sachs make it to Mr. Burns' company softball game against Shelbyville?
Radiation poisoning.
Nope, that's not Steve Sachs.
Shoot. Steve Sachs was unconscious after being knocked out by Barney.
No, that's Wade Boggs.
Wait.
Steve Sachs is in jail. For,
oh, that's right.
He's charged with every unsolved murder in New York City. Which two nations face off against each other in the big soccer match in Springfield?
Mexico and Portugal?
Correct. I don't know how you got that. In the sunny, cruddy Sunday, Troy Aikman is seen drawing a caricature of who driving a dune buggy?
I have no idea.
Ned Flanders. Bart's truancy leads him to participate in what school sport?
Truancy. No idea.
Ballet. Remember ballet?
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking of the episode where he skips school.
Well, it's the same thing. What is the drug that helped Bart realize that Major League Baseball is spying on everyone?
Focusin.
That is correct. It's very important. You got to have that focusin, like a laser. You just want to see me.
Right. You'll know that everyone's spying on you.
Wallop a few dingers, Mark McGuire says in that episode. But that is that. You guys can send us in themes or trivia questions any of the places I mentioned previously, and I will grill Matt with them. He does not get extra points because he's already got a big enough lead on me.
Yeah.
It is time for our final segment. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. I need your guidance on this one, Matt. Where would you put this? Give me at least a starting point.
Oh, man, it is so tough. Well, let's look at Lisa episodes. I don't think it's as good as Lisa the Greek.
I agree.
It's good, but I really feel the grandpa stuff, while tending to be funny, just detracts from the main story.
After this, but, you know, there's been several, you know, famous grandpa ramblings recently. Mm-hmm. And when you do it for like a lot of the episode, it only works in, I think, in small doses. Like it works best when you have a moment,
only a couple of those per episode, rather than having like every grandpa scene.
Yes, there's the entire B plot is grandpa, and then pretty much the entirety of that plot is him just rambling. It gets, you know, you kind of lose the punch of it.
Okay, so the next set of Lisa episodes down that I can see are around 40. Lisa's First Word, Lisa the Beauty Queen, Lisa's Pony.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to go out on a limb and say this is not quite as good as Lisa the Beauty Queen.
Really?
Yeah.
I
like it. I like it a lot, but
I don't know. I think it's better than Lisa the Beauty Queen. I was thinking that myself. Like, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where I'd put it necessarily, but I think it's better than Lisa the Beauty Queen. Really? I think they're kind of similar. You know, they're both tackling kind of issues, Lisa's issues with kind of, I don't know, feminism or from femininity and or
popular culture for little girls.
Yeah, it's
that's true.
I don't know. I feel like this episode is very smart. Like the writing in the Lisa plot itself. At least the Beauty Queen, does it have a B plot that I don't remember one. I don't think so.
No, it's really concentrated.
Yeah, I don't know. And there's Lisa's first word is right above it, and Lisa's pony is almost directly beneath it. Right, there's so much choices in between. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it surprised me a little bit. It was more clever than I remembered. I don't know.
That's true.
It's just not.
True. I really like the idea of incorporating something that actually happened in this episode and a little heavy on the satire, which I really appreciated. So you're right. I think you're right. It is a little bit better than Lisa the Beauty Queen.
But I don't know. I feel like it's better than Lisa's first word. I think it's better than Homer's triple bypass.
Yeah.
Saturdays of Thunder. It's a Bart episode. Homer goes to college.
Bart episode.
Yeah, Brush with Great. I think it's it's very similar to Brush with Greatness in a certain way because they're more serious stuff. But
true.
I feel like this is funnier than Brush with Greatness. I don't know. It's tough.
That's true.
It's tough. Actually, I would put it right above Brush with Greatness. I think right below Brother from the Same Planet.
It's true, Brother from the Same Planet. It's so funny because I remember that episode as being just weird as all get out, having Phil Hartman as Tom. But when you have Phil Hartman as part of the episode, it really brings it up a notch. So yeah, I can definitely be okay with that because you're right. Brush with Greatness is kind of similar to this episode because it's one of the Simpson women, I don't want to say fighting back against the patriarchy, but essentially, putting themselves out there for what they believe in. And I think you're right. I think this is better than Brush with Greatness. It's definitely funnier.
It's funnier. I think that this episode would be much higher if the B plot wasn't kind of grandpa nonsense.
Yeah.
Like it's not like the grandpa stuff is fine. It's not bad, but it's nothing special. I feel like it's it lacks punch because you see so much of it in there. So that will be number 36 on our list, right below Brother from the Same Planet, right above Brush with Greatness. Number one on our list is Cape Fear, holding strong for now. Last place, 94, Homer's Odyssey. Matt, what is our next episode? It is a great one.
Next episode? What's our next episode, Robbie?
It's Deep Space Homer.
Oh, man. Been waiting for this one.
Deep Space Homer is a fantastic episode. I'm going to say that right now. One of my favorites.
It's going pretty high, as you're saying.
I don't know. I'm going to rewatch it and think about it, talk about it, and see where it goes. But I'm going to say I love Deep Space Homer. It is certainly one of my favorite Homer episodes. We'll talk about it next week. I could start going now, just like going through everything I love about it. But, best to wait. You can find this list, the best episode ever list, on our website. It is thesimpsonsshow.com. Simple and to the point. You can find new episodes, downloadable and streaming. You can find links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, so you don't have to try and interpret my loose pronunciations. You can find links to our Patreon if you wish to support us. We really obviously appreciate that a lot. And you can contact us through there too. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Cheryl. That's MixmasterCereal. Please check out my comic book podcast. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media unless you are a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. This week, however, I will be on my secret Twitter account because I will be staying with family and probably bored out of my mind. So if you're a Patreon subscriber at the correct level, feel free to strike up a conversation. I will most certainly talk to you now. I will be bored.
Yes. Send Matt your Simpsons Tapped Out username and he'll friend you, maybe.
That too, yes.
Yeah. So he has another person to visit his Simpsons Tap crack game. Are you max level yet, Matt?
I have been max level for quite a while.
Oh, quite a while. I apologize. Hey, forgive me, please. Excuse me.
Well, we're working through the Christmas holiday now, so I gotta go tap on those merrymakers,
Apparently, yeah. An Epcot just got added. Apparently, that's
indeed it did.
I believe listener Nick sent in after we'd mentioned it last week. But with that, I think we can call it a day. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.